Chapter 40. Unexpected Laughter.
You have to help me talk some sense into them, Matt said around his pipe stem. Tom, are you listening?
They were seated on upended kegs in the scant shade of a two-story house, smoking their pipes, and the lanky old gleeman seemed more interested in staring at the letter Rand had sent on to him. Now he stuffed it into his coat pocket, with the tree and crown seal yet unbroken. The buzz of voices and squeak of axles from the street at the end of the alley seemed distant. Sweat dripped from both their faces. At least one thing was taken care of for the moment. Matt had come out of the little tower to find that a group of Aes Sedai had hauled Avienda away somewhere. She would not be sticking a knife in anybody anytime soon. Tom took his pipe from his mouth. It was a long-stemmed thing, carved all over with oak leaves and acorns.
I once tried to rescue a woman, Matt. Laritha was a rose in bud, and married to a glowering brute of a bootmaker in a village where I broke my journey for a few days. A brute. He shouted at her if dinner wasn't ready when he wanted to sit down, and took a switch to her if he saw her say more than two words to another man.
Tom, what in the pit of doom does this have to do with making those fool women see sense?
Just listen, boy. How he treated her was common knowledge in the village, but Laritha told me herself, all the while moaning over how she wished someone would rescue her. I had gold in my purse and a fine coach, a driver and a manservant. I was young and good-looking.
Tom knuckled his white mustaches and sighed. It was hard to believe that leathery face had ever been good-looking. Matt blinked.
A coach? When had a gleeman ever had a coach?
Matt, the woman's plight wrung my heart, and I won't deny her face tugged at it, too. As I said, I was young. I thought I was in love, a hero out of the stories. So one day, sitting beneath a flowering apple tree, well away from the bootmaker's house, I offered to take her away. I'd give her a maid and a house of her own, and court her with songs and verse. When she finally understood, she kicked me in the knee so hard I limped for a month, and hit me with the bench besides.
They all seem to like kicking, Matt muttered, shifting his weight on the keg. I suppose she didn't believe you, and who can blame her?
Oh, she believed, and was outraged that I thought she would ever leave her beloved husband. Her word, beloved. She ran back to the man as fast as her feet would go. And I had the choice of killing him or leaping into my coach. I had to leave behind almost every stitch I owned. I expect she's still living with him, much as before, holding the purse strings tight in her fist and cracking his head open with whatever lies to hand every time he stops into the inn for an ale. As she always had, so I'd learned later from a few discreet inquiries.
He stuck the pipe back between his teeth, as if he had made a point. Matt scratched his head.
I don't see what that has to do with this.
Just that you shouldn't think you know the whole story when you've heard part. For instance, do you know Elaine and Nynaeve will be leaving for Ebu Dar in a day or so? Julin and I are to go along.
Ebu...
Matt barely caught his pipe before it fell into the dead weeds that carpeted the alley. Elysian had told some stories about a visit to Ebu Dar, and even counting in the way he exaggerated when it came to women he had known and fights he had been in, the place sounded rough.
So, they thought they could slip Elaine away from him, did they?
Tom, you have to help me.
What? Tom broke in. Steal them away from the bootmaker?
He blew up a streamer of blue smoke.
I won't do that, boy. You still don't know the whole story. How do you feel about Egwene and Nynaeve? On second thought, make that just Egwene.
Matt frowned, wondering whether the man thought he could fuddle everything up by going around in circles long enough.
I like Egwene. Burn me, Tom, she's Egwene! That's enough right there! That's why I'm trying to save her full neck for her.
Save her from her bootmaker, you mean? Tom murmured,
but Matt went right on.
Her neck, and Elaine's as well. Even Nynaeve's, if I can stop from throttling her myself. Light! I only want to help them. Besides, Rand will break my neck if I let anything happen to Elaine.
Have you ever thought of helping them do what they want instead of what you want? If I did what I wanted, I'd have Elaine on a horse and riding to Andor. She needs to do other things. Needs to, I think. So I trot around after her, sweating day and night that somebody will manage to kill her before I can prevent it. She will go to Camelin when she's ready.
He sucked at his pipe complacently, but there was a slight edge to his voice at the end, as if he did not like his words, even as much as he pretended.
It seems to me they want to hand their heads to Elida.
So Tom would have that silly wench on a horse, would he? A gleeman hauling the daughter heir off to be crowned. He did have a grand sense of himself, Tom did.
You aren't a fool, Matt, Tom said quietly. You know better. Egwene, it's hard to think of that child as Ommerlin. Matt grunted sourly in agreement. Tom paid him no mind. Yet I believe she has the backbone for it. It's too early to say whether a few things are just happenstance, but I'm beginning to believe she may have the brains as well. The question is she tough enough? If she lacks that, they will eat her alive. Backbone, brains, and all.
Who will? Elida?
Oh, her. If she has the chance. That one lacks nothing for toughness. But the Aes Sedai right here hardly think of Egwene as Aes Sedai. Ommerlin, maybe, but not Aes Sedai, hard as that is to believe.
Tom shook his head.
I don't understand, but it's true. The same for Elaine and Nynaeve. They try to keep it among themselves, but even Aes Sedai don't hide as much as they think, if you watch close and keep your wits about you.
He pulled out that letter again, just turning it over in his hands without looking at it.
Egwene is walking the edge of a precipice, Matt. And three factions right here in Saladar, three that I'm sure of, might push her over if she makes one wrong step. Elaine will follow if that happens, and Nynaeve. Or maybe they'll push them over first to pull her down.
Right here in Saladar, Matt said, flat as a plain board. Tom nodded calmly, and Matt could not stop his voice from rising.
And you want me to leave them here?
I want you to stop thinking you're going to make them do anything. They've decided what they are going to do, and you can't change it. But maybe, just maybe, you can help me keep them alive.
Matt jumped to his feet. In his head was an image of a woman with a knife stuck between her breasts. Not one of the borrowed memories. He kicked the keg he had been sitting on, sending it rolling along the alley.
Help a gleeman keep them alive.
A faint memory stirred, something about Basil Gill, an innkeeper in Camelin, saying something about Tom. But it was like mist, gone as soon as he tried to hold it.
Who's the letter from, Tom? Another woman you rescued? Or did you leave her where she could get her head cut off?
I left her,
Tom said softly. Rising, he walked away without another word. Matt half reached out to stop him, started to speak. Only he could not think of what to say.
Crazy old man.
No, he was not crazy.
Egwene was mule stubborn, and Nynaeve made her look biddable.
Worse, either would climb a tree to see the lightning better.
As for Elaine, noblewomen never had enough sense to come in out of the rain. And then they were indignant when they got wet. Tapping out his pipe, he crushed the embers under heel before the dry weeds could catch, then caught up his hat from the ground and limped out to the street. He needed information from a better source than a gleeman who had delusions of grandeur from running around with that stuck-up chit of a daughter heir. Down to his left, he saw Nynaeve coming out of the little tower and started toward her, winding between loaded carts drawn by oxen or horses. She could tell him what he needed to know, if she would. His hip gave him a twinge.
Burn me, she owes me a few answers.
Just then, Nynaeve caught sight of him and stiffened visibly. For a moment, she watched him approach, then abruptly hurried off in the other direction, plainly trying to avoid him. She looked over her shoulder twice before people in carts hit her. He stopped, scowling, and pulled his hat low. First, the woman kicked him for no reason. Now she would not talk to him.
They meant to let him stew, her and Egwene, until he would trot off meekly when they pointed a finger.
Well, they chose the wrong man for their game, burn their hides.
Vannon and the others were outside a stable beside a stone building that had surely been an inn once. Aes Sedai streamed in and out of it now. Pips and the rest of their horses were tied to a hitching rail, and Vannon and the two scouts who had been captured were squatting against the wall. Mar and Ladwin were as different as men could be, one tall, lanky, and rough-faced, the other short, stocky, and mild-seeming. But both looked plain embarrassed when Matt walked up. Neither had gotten over the ease of his capture. The two squadmen stood stiffly, still holding the banners tied against their staffs, as if there was any point to it now. They looked more than a little apprehensive. A battle was one thing. All these Aes Sedai were quite another. A man had a chance in battle. There were two warders watching them, not openly, and from across the stable yard, but they had not just picked that spot, standing in the full sun, to talk. Matt stroked Pips's nose, then after a moment began to examine the horse's eyes. A fellow in a leather vest came out of the stable, shoving a dung barrow up the street. Vannon walked over to peer into Pips's eye. Not looking at him, Matt said, "Could you reach the band?"
"Maybe."
Vannon frowned and lifted Pips's eyelid.
"With a little luck, maybe. Hate to leave my horse, though."
Matt nodded, looking closer at the eye.
"Tell Talmanis I said to sit tight. I may be staying here a few days, and I don't want any bloody attempted rescue. Try to make it back here. Without being seen, if you can."
Vannon spat into the dust under Pips.
"Man mixes with Aes Sedai, he's bridled himself and put a saddle on his back. I'll be back when I can."
Shaking his head, he strolled off into the crowd, a fat, rumpled man with a rolling walk who no one could suspect of being able to sneak. One of the squadmen cleared his throat hesitantly and stepped closer.
"My lord, is everything, this is what you planned, isn't it, my lord?"
"Right to the plan, Verdon," Matt said, patting Pips. He was headfirst in a sack and the strings tied tight.
He had promised Rand to see Elaine safe to Camelin, and he could not leave without her. And he could not go off and let Egwene stretch her neck on the chopping block either.
It might be, light how it rankled, it might be that he was going to have to take Tom's advice. Try to keep those bloody women's bloody heads on their bloody shoulders by somehow helping them make this whole mad impossible scheme actually work. While trying to keep his own neck in one piece, incidentally. And that left out keeping Avienda from Elaine's throat.
Well, at the least, he could be around to get them away when it all fell apart. Small comfort that was.
"Everything is just bloody fine."
Elaine expected to find Avienda in the waiting room or maybe outside, but she hardly had to listen to discover why she was in neither place. There were two topics of conversation among the other Aes Sedai, and everyone was talking, with papers lying abandoned on the tables. Matt occupied most tongues. Even the servants and novices bustling about the waiting room paused in running errands to exchange words about him. He was Ta'veren. Was it safe to let a Ta'veren remain in Salidar? Had he really been in the tower and simply allowed to go? Was it true he commanded the Dragonsworn army? Was he to be arrested for the atrocities they had heard of? Was it true he came from the same village as the Dragon Reborn and the Ammerlin? There were rumors of two Ta'veren connected to the Dragon Reborn. Who was the second and where could he be found? Maybe Matt Cawthon knew. There seemed to be as many opinions as there were people to give them. There were two questions Elaine expected to hear and did not. What did Matt want in Salidar, and how had Rand known where to send him? Nobody asked them, but here an Aes Sedai suddenly shifted her shawl as if cold, or gave a start when she realized someone had spoken to her. There a serving woman stared at nothing in the middle of the floor before coming to herself with a shake, or a novice darted frightened glances at the sisters. Matt was not quite a cat set among the pigeons, but he came close. Just the fact that Rand knew where they were seemed enough to set a chill. Avienda occasioned less comment, but the sisters could not help talking about her, and not only to change the subject. It was not every day that a Wilder simply appeared on her own 2 feet, especially with such remarkable strength, and an Aiel besides. That last truly fascinated every sister. No Aiel had ever trained in the tower, and few Aes Sedai had ever entered the Aiel waste. A single question sufficed to learn where she was being held. Not held in name, but Elaine knew how Aes Sedai could be when they wanted a woman to become a novice. "She will be in white by nightfall," Akarin said confidently. A slim brown, she nodded for emphasis with almost every word. The two sisters with her nodded just as surely. Tisking under her breath, Elaine hurried into the street. Ahead of her she could see Nynaeve practically trotting and looking over her shoulder so often that she was running into people. Elaine thought about catching up. She would not mind having company, but she was not about to run in this heat, concentration or no, and that seemed the only way. Even so, she did lift her skirt slightly and hurried. Before she had gone 50 paces, she felt Birgitta coming closer and turned to see her running down the street. Arena was with her, but she stopped a little way off and folded her arms with a scowl. The woman was an impossible little wretch, and she certainly had not changed her opinions because Elaine really was Aes Sedai now. "I thought you should know," Birgitta said quietly. "I just heard that when we leave for Ebu Dar, Van Deen and Adelius are going too."
"I see," Elaine murmured.
It could be that the pair were going to join Merlilla for some reason, though there were already 3 Aes Sedai at Tylin's court, or maybe they had a mission of their own in Ebu Dar. She did not believe either. Arena had her mind set, and so did the hall. Elaine and Nynaeve were to be accompanied by 2 real Aes Sedai as chaperones. "She does understand she isn't going." Birgitta glanced the way Elaine was staring at Arena, then shrugged. "She understands. She is not happy over it. Myself, I can hardly wait to be gone." Elaine hesitated only a moment. She had promised to keep secrets, which she did not like, but she had not promised to stop trying to convince the other woman there was no need and no point. "Birgitta, Egwene, no."
"Why not?"
Elaine had not had Birgitta for a warder long before she decided that when she bonded Rand, she would somehow make him promise to do as he was told, at least when it was important. Lately she had decided on another provision. He was going to have to answer her questions. Birgitta answered when she chose, evaded when she chose, and sometimes just put on a stubborn face, as she did now. "Tell me why not, and if it's a good reason I'll never ask again." At first Birgitta just glowered, but then she took Elaine's arm and very nearly hustled her to the mouth of an alley. No one passing by glanced at them twice, and Arena remained where she was, if darker of face than before. But Birgitta still looked around carefully and spoke in a whisper. "Always when the wheel spun me out, I was born, lived, and died without ever knowing I was bound to the wheel. I only knew that in between, until I ran Riod. Sometimes I became known, even famous, but I was like everyone else, not somebody out of a legend. This time I was ripped out, not spun out. For the first time wearing flesh, I know who I am. For the first time other people can know, too. Tom and Julin do. They say nothing, but I am sure. They don't look at me the way they do other people. If I said I was going to climb a glass mountain and kill a giant with my bare hands, they'd just ask if I needed any help on the way, and they would not expect me to."
"I don't understand," Elaine said slowly, and Birgitta sighed and let her head hang. "I don't know that I can live up to that. In other lives I did what I had to, what seemed to be right, enough for Marion or Joanna or any woman. Now I'm Birgitta of the stories. Everyone who knows will expect. I feel like a feather dancer walking into a Tovan conclave." Elaine did not ask. When Birgitta mentioned things from past lives, the explanations were usually more confusing than ignorance. "That is nonsense," she said firmly, taking the other woman by the arms. "I know, and I certainly don't expect you to kill any giants. Egwene doesn't either, and she already knows." "As long as I don't admit it," Birgitta muttered. "It's as if she didn't. Don't bother saying that's nonsense, too. I know it is, but that changes nothing." "Then what about this? She is the Amyrlin, and you are a warder. She deserves your trust, Birgitta. She needs it." "Are you done with her yet?" Irena demanded from a pace away. "If you're going to go away and leave me, the least you can do is help me with my archery the way you said you would." "I will think on it," Birgitta told Elaine quietly. Turning to Irena, she caught the woman's braid at the base of her neck. "We will speak of archery," she said, pushing her up the street. "But first we will speak of manners." Shaking her head, Elaine suddenly remembered Avienda and hurried on. The house was not far. It took her a moment to recognize Avienda. Elaine was used to seeing her in Cadinsor, with her dark reddish hair cut short, not in skirt and blouse and shawl with hair below her shoulders, and held back from her face by a folded kerchief. At first glance, she did not appear to be in any difficulty. Sitting rather awkwardly in a chair, Aiel were unused to chairs, she seemed to be peacefully sipping tea with five sisters in a circle in the sitting room. Houses that sheltered Aes Sedai had such things, though Elaine and Nynaeve were still in their cramped little room. At second glance, Avienda was casting hunted looks at the Aes Sedai over the rim of her teacup. There was no time for a third glance. On sight of Elaine, Avienda jerked to her feet and dropped her cup to the clean-swept floor. Elaine had seen few Aiel except in the Stone of Tyr, but she did know they hid their emotions, and Avienda did it very well. Only now, naked pain painted her face. "I'm sorry," Elaine told the room smoothly, "but I must take her away from you for a little while. Perhaps you can talk to her later." Several of the sisters hesitated on the brink of protest, though there should have been none. She was clearly the strongest in the room by far, except for Avienda, and none of the Aes Sedai was a sitter or part of Shiriam's council. She was very happy that Mirella was not there, since she lived in this house. Elaine had made her choice of green and been accepted, only to discover that Mirella was the head of the green Aja in Salidar. Mirella, who had not even been Aes Sedai 15 years. From things that had been said, Elaine knew there were greens in Salidar who had worn the shawl at least 50, though not a one showed a gray hair. Had Mirella been there, all Elaine's strength would have counted for nothing if the head of her Aja wanted to retain Avienda. As it was, only Shanna, a pop-eyed white who reminded Elaine of a fish, went as far as opening her mouth further, and she closed it again, though rather sullenly, when Elaine arched an eyebrow at her. The five were more than a bit tight-lipped, but Elaine ignored the tension. "Thank you," she said with a smile she did not feel. Avienda slung a dark bundle on her back, but hesitated until Elaine actually asked her to come. In the street, Elaine said, "I apologize for that. I'll see it does not happen again." She could manage that, she was sure. Or Egwene could, surely. "There are not many places to talk alone, I'm afraid. My room is rather hot this time of day. We could try to find some shade or have some tea if they haven't already filled you with it." "Your room." It was not exactly curt, but plainly Avienda did not want to talk. Not yet. Abruptly, she darted to a passing cart filled with firewood and snatched out a branch meant to be broken for kindling, longer than her arm and thicker than her thumb. Rejoining Elaine, she began peeling it with her belt knife. The sharp blade shaved away smaller branches like a razor. The pain was gone from her face. She seemed determined now. Elaine eyed her sideways as they walked. She would not believe Avienda meant her any harm, whatever that lout Matt Cawthon said. Then again, she knew a little of Jeito, Avienda had explained some of it when they were in the stone together. Maybe Rand had said or done something. Maybe that bewildering labyrinth of honor and obligation required Avienda to... It did not seem possible. But maybe... When they reached her room, she decided to bring it up first. Facing the other woman, and very deliberately not embracing Zaidar, she said, "Matt claims you have come here to kill me." Avienda blinked. "Wetlanders always put everything backwards," she said wonderingly. Laying the stick on the foot of Nynaeve's bed, she put the belt knife beside it carefully. "My near sister Egwene asked me to watch Randall Thor for you, which I promised to do." Bundle and shawl went on the floor beside the door. "I have toe toward her, but greater to you." Unlacing her blouse, she pulled it over her head, then pushed her shift to her waist. "I love Randall Thor, and once I let myself lie with him, I have toe, and I ask that you help me meet it." Turning her back, she knelt in the small space available. "You may use the stick or the knife as you wish. The toe is mine, but the choice is yours." She tilted up her chin, stretching her neck. Her eyes were closed. "Whichever you choose, I accept." Elaine thought her knees were going to buckle. Min had said the third woman would be dangerous, but Avienda? Wait, she said she... With Rand? Her hand twitched toward the knife on the bed, and she folded her arms, trapping her hands. "Get up and put on your blouse. I am not going to hit you. Just a few times." She tightened her arms to hold her hands where they were. "And I am certainly not going to touch that knife. Please put it away." She would have handed it to the other woman, but she was not certain she was safe to touch a weapon right then. "You have no toe toward me." She believed that was the phrase. "I love Rand, but I don't care that you love him too." The lie burned her tongue. Avienda had actually lain with him? Twisting around on her knees, Avienda frowned. "I am not certain I understand. Are you proposing that we share him? Elaine, we are friends, I think, but we must be as first sisters if we are to be sister wives. It will take time to know if we can be that." Realizing her mouth was hanging open, Elaine closed it. "I suppose it will," she said faintly. Min kept saying they would share him, but certainly not that way. Even the thought was indecent. "It is a little more complicated than you know. There's another woman who loves him, too." Avienda was on her feet so fast, she simply seemed to be one place, then the other. "What is her name?" Her green eyes blazed, and she had the knife in her hand. Elaine almost laughed. One moment talking about sharing, the next as fierce as me, she finished, not at all pleased with the thought. This could have been worse, much worse. It could have been Berylaine. Since it had to be somebody, it might as well be Avienda, and I might as well deal with it instead of kicking my skirts like a child. Seating herself on the bed, she folded her hands in her lap. "Do sheathe that and sit down, Avienda, and please put on your blouse. I have a great deal to tell you. There is a woman, my friend, my near sister, named Min." Avienda did clothe herself, but a considerable time passed before she sat, and considerably more before Elaine could convince her that they should not combine to do Min in. She agreed to that, at least. Reluctantly, she finally said, "I must get to know her. I will not share him with a woman I cannot love as a first sister." That with a studying look at Elaine, who sighed. Avienda would consider sharing him with her. Min was ready to share him with her. Was she the only one of the three who was normal? By the map under her mattress, Min should be in Camelin soon, or maybe already was. She did not know what she wanted to have happen there, only that Min should use her viewings to help him, which meant Min had to stay close to him, while Elaine went to Ebudar. Is anything in life ever simple, Avienda? Not when men are involved. Elaine was not sure which surprised her more, to find that she was laughing, or that Avienda was.